Packing the car, making the plans, buying the tickets, family vacations can be exhausting and expensive. And for what? This hour, the value of family vacations and how to plan a good one. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Whether you're going to Disney World or exploring the big wide world, planning a family vacation takes a lot of work. Today, we'll talk about what we get out of these adventures, what our kids get out of the experiences, and get some advice for making the most of each trip. We also want to hear from you. Tell us about your favorite family trip or the biggest disaster. How do you think family trips taken when you were young shaped you? Join the conversation after the news.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Valley View Village, an adult community offering a complete continuum of care, including independent living, assisted living, skilled, and long-term care. Learn more about this community at valleyviewvillage.org.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This time of year, many families are getting ready to hit the road for their summer vacation. It's an opportunity for togetherness, adventure, learning, and fun. It's also an opportunity for stress, family strife, excessive spending, and complete exhaustion. This hour, we'll talk about the value of the family vacation and get some insight into how to plan a good one. And we want to hear your stories. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org or tweet us at IPR Talk. And IPR production assistant Chelsea Hoy went out and asked some people in Iowa City to share their vacation memories.
Hi, my name is Heather Widmer. And one summer we went on vacation to a small, really small town in Idaho, in the mountains of Idaho. And it was accessible by a two-hour drive on a gravel road that sort of wound along through the mountains and along a river. And on our way home from this town, our car started fishtailing on this small road. And on one side was just a cliff of a mountain, and on the other side was a drop-off into the river. And we fishtailed a few times between the two, and we finally came to a stop. We were held up by this really skinny pole pine tree, and the edge of our car had gone over the edge of the area that was going to fall into the river. And we had to wait for a pickup truck to tow us off of the edge of the river and stuff. But fortunately, the car wasn't damaged. We were all fine. But that was probably the most memorable vacation I've ever had.
Chad Cushman.
Maggie Proper.
We had heard about Asheville, North Carolina, and we started to research it as a destination for a vacation. And the more that we researched it and the more we got to know about Asheville and just the culture, me being a chef, and we just kind of like different things. We like arts, we like culture, we like to be outdoors, and we love food. And we also have a food truck, so we're kind of tapped in that way. But the more that we researched Asheville, it had all of these things. So we kind of, before even visiting Asheville, we had like decided like, we're just gonna end up moving to Asheville, North Carolina. So on a whim, I don't even know when it was, last fall, we decided that we would just get on the road and go. And everything between Iowa and there was, I mean, beautiful. We got to see Virginia for the first time. The first night we camped on the Shenandoah River in Virginia, and it was just, I mean, right off the bat, it just started to be very magical.
Hi, my name's Rose Clark, and it was about 10 years ago, my brother and my two cousins and I went back to where my family came from, which is actually not in a foreign country, but in Pennsylvania. And we spent a week going from one spot to the next, really kind of reconnecting with our history and meeting up with cousins that we didn't know we had, and seeing where my great-grandfather had actually grown up in his house. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful vacation. Great trip. It sort of sparked a sort of a renewal with cousins that I really didn't know, including the two that I went with. And we're still talking about that. So that's my memorable vacation.
And we'd love to hear your vacation memories as well. Again, the number to call, 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And with me on the line right now is Karen Melton. She's assistant professor of child and family studies at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. And she has given a lot of thought to family vacations. Hello, Karen.
Hi, Charity. It's such a pleasure to be on the show today.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here. And as I mentioned before, I mean, the family trip, it's an opportunity for adventure and fun and learning and togetherness. But for a lot of us, it's also extremely stressful and expensive, and families don't always get along on these trips. What does research tell us about the significance, the value of spending time together as a family on a journey, on a trip?
Well, I think you've hit on some really key points as we think about family vacations, that all family vacations are not equal. Even in the stories that we just heard from these individuals, they weren't all the same, and that all family vacations aren't going to give us those warm, fuzzy feelings. But yeah, in general, research suggests that vacations are good. There's an organization called Take Back Your Time that synthesized a lot of research on topics related to family vacations and vacations in general, and found that vacations relieve stress, they prevent heart disease and other illnesses, they improve our sex life, they make us happier, they strengthen our relationships, and they just help us be more productive at work and improve our sleep. So there's a lot of positive benefits that, but I think I would be remiss, and as you've already mentioned, that perhaps the most important thing to say about family vacations specifically is that they're not a magic pill for our hurting families or healing families in distress. And so sometimes we treat vacations like that, that they'll just automatically improve things in the family life.
Well, there's this very funny article that has been making its way around the internet for several years now, drawing the distinction between a vacation and a trip. And any parent who's ever gone on a trip with their kids will relate to this. You know, if you've got bikes on the back of the car, that's not a vacation. That's a trip, is the idea in the article. And is there a distinction that we need to draw when we talk about the benefits of a vacation, which might be relaxing and a stress reliever, and these family trips that we take?
You know, I'm not as familiar with this article that you're speaking about, but I think that this speaks to something that we talk about in family leisure, about the paradox of family leisure. Sometimes we want to put vacations into that family leisure category, or any time we're doing family leisure, we think that leisure means that we're going to be relaxing and resting, and that it's going to be so pleasurable, and all these great things are going to happen, right? But when we talk about family, that means that we've got a group of individuals working together through a series of activities, and that usually means somebody is doing some working, right? They're doing the planning, they're doing the coordination, and so yeah, there kind of is this distinction. If we're using the word vacation to mean restful and relaxing versus just a trip where we're all going together, but someone's going to have to be doing some work to keep us all together and on track and on schedule and doing things.
But even if you're doing the work, it sounds like what you're saying is the change of scenery can be really healthy for us.
Yeah, it definitely can. And I think when we talk about family vacations, it's really thinking about those different types of family activities that we're doing together. Not that everything in a family vacation needs to be the family always doing every activity together. But, you know, recently I did a study with Raymond Zabriskie from BYU, and he's been studying leisure for about 15 years. And in our study, we had this, and it had this cute title, In the Pursuit of Happiness, All Family Leisure is Not Equal. In this study, we looked at the responses of 800 parents and their teenage children regarding family activities and their happiness with their family life. And what we found was that quality time spent in any location, so at the home, in the community, and even in getaways and adventures activities, these were all significant contributors to happiness with family life. But overwhelmingly, the best and strongest predictor was quality time spent at home, which reiterates that, you know, quality time at home in regular activities throughout the year is an effective way to foster happiness with family life, but that family vacations allow us the opportunity to set aside our routine family life and enhance our relationships through new experiences that we're sharing together. And some of those experiences live on in our memories and retelling of family vacations at family gatherings 20 years down the road. And sometimes those experiences just live on through the deeper connection we had during the family vacation and just being more vulnerable with each other when we return back to our family, our routine family life.
Well, and as you said earlier, we need to not think that a vacation is going to mend a hurting family. So it sounds like you're saying that if you don't have that kind of quality time built into your life at home, we shouldn't make the mistake of believing that a family vacation is going to give us what we need.
Yeah, absolutely. We live in a culture that where busyness is like our new status symbol. And that means for a lot of families, we work really hard all year for our children and for our families. There's even a new study, though, that shows the study was from the British Heart Association. And they found that in a typical week that almost one-third of children might go several days without having a meaningful interaction with their parents. This is because, you know, parents are getting up early and coming home late and their busy routines. But these are the types of families that might feel really disconnected. And so they make this decision that the family needs to go on a vacation to reconnect for a week or two. But when it comes to family relationships, vacations are more or less like icing to a cake. The cake is the relationship built throughout the year from these regular family activities that we can be doing. And family vacations, again, just enhance that relationship by giving us new memories together. But if all you have is a family vacation, then all you have is kind of this dollop of icing and like no substance under that icing.
We're going to get to the phones here. A lot of people have stories they want to share. We want to hear your stories about family vacations as well. 866-780-9100. Your good memories, those disaster memories as well. We also want to hear how you feel these vacations, these trips that you took with your family when you were young, how you feel they may have shaped you as an adult. Marcus is on the line in Franklin County. Hi, Marcus.
How goes it today?
Great. What's your story?
Well, we actually just got back from a family vacation. We took our annual vacation, a little early this year. We're very active in our home community. My wife runs a nonprofit daycare, and both of us volunteer quite often, so we decided to go early this year. One of the unique things we took advantage of, we have a fourth grader. We have a three-year-old, a seven-year-old, and our 10-year-old just got out of fourth grade, and there's a program that the U.S. Park Service puts on called Every Kid in a Park. If you're a fourth grader in the U.S., you can get into any national park for free. I kind of wanted to put that plug in there because I have never been to a national park. I'm 32, and it's a wonderful opportunity, not only for learning, but for, like you said, reconnecting. Hiking with my sons through Badlands National Park was an eye-opening experience as far as, you know, you don't always respect your children's skills to handle themselves, and it's nice to be able to take a step back and just watch them conduct themselves right with other people they might not know and make new friends that maybe just might be a day or two. But
and Marcus, we have got to go to a break here, but that's a great thought about parents learning and learning about their kids as well as the kids learning on these trips as well. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Karen Melton is here with me, assistant professor of child and family studies at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. We're talking about the value of family vacations this hour, and we do want to hear from you. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Valley View Village, an adult community offering a complete continuum of care, including independent living, assisted living, skilled, and long-term care. Learn more about this community at valleyviewvillage.org.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about family vacations, and we're talking about the value of these family trips we take during the summer. We also want to hear your stories this hour. With me is Karen Melton. She's an assistant professor of child and family studies at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. And joining the conversation now is Barb Dunn Swanson, human sciences specialist at Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. Hello, Barb.
Good morning. Thank you for including me in this great conversation.
Well, thank you so much for being here this hour. And I want to talk about, with both of you, we tend to think about family vacations as the destination. You know, where are you going on vacation this summer? We're going to Washington, D.C. We're going to Orlando, Florida. We're going here. We're going there. Do we need to reframe how we think about that and think about vacations more as the journey, not just the destination, Barb?
I agree. I think that when we think about as adults, we might be thinking that we have to get somewhere, that we owe our kids an opportunity, when actually the young people really appreciate being with their parents. And so whether it was a big destination like Florida, like you mentioned, or if it's just a vacation that's close to home, the opportunity and the time spent with the family itself is really something that the child really appreciates. And so sometimes we let our adult thoughts and impressions about what a vacation should look like get in the way of really the meaningfulness of being together as a family.
And Karen, do you have anything you want to add to that?
No, I think I would agree with everything that's been said. You know, like you said, we often think of it as a big activity, but there's a lot of different phases and different types of activities that really go into that full thing called the vacation that can be kind of partitioned up into, again, those novel types of activities that we're really excited about, those destination types of activities, but also then those more familiar activities that where we can do a little bit more bonding. So whether that's just eating dinners together or playing board games together. And as Barb mentioned, you know, just really focusing on spending time together is, when we talk about children, one of the most important things that they want from the family vacation is our parents' undivided attention.
So let's talk about that, our undivided attention. You know, we live in a world where we have a lot of things that can take our attention, whether we're kids or adults. If your kids are taking electronics on the vacation, if the parents are taking electronics on the vacation, is that something important to think about as well, controlling our own behavior so that we can be present in the moment? Karen?
I think that again, when we go on vacations, we want to be intentional to have quality time on vacations. This doesn't mean, though, that every moment of that vacation has to be quality time. And so I typically share three simple tips for helping families increase their just quality time on vacations. And these are just claiming what is going to be that family time. Again, not everything needs to be family time, but what are we going to say? This is our family time. Is it that game night? Is it that walk on the beach? Is it just hanging out on the back porch wherever you're staying? And then if we've set these are our family times, having boundaries during that family time, which means that we're not going to have television on. We're not going to have our smart devices with us. We might put all of our smart devices in a basket so that we're not antsy and trying to, you know, reach for the pocket and grab the phone out or anything. And then the third thing that I always say is just pump up the conversation during those family times. You know, talk about highs and lows during the day or ask a silly question each time, like, what would you do if you won $1 million? Or if you could be any cartoon character, who would you be? This can all add to our conversation with family members and improve that quality time, and we can learn something new and interesting about each other. But again, not all vacation time needs to be that deep quality time.
And do you have anything you want to add on that front, Barb?
Well, what I hear Karen talking about is what happened before we even left on vacation, which is the intentional planning, sitting down with members of the family and identifying what is it we want to do, where is it we'd like to go. Do some planning, maybe go to the library as a family, get some books, destination books, look for places that spark some interest in your family members, and then make a plan for what that vacation could look like. Because oftentimes, when we make the plan together as a family, then we can talk about whether or not our budget will allow for this destination, or it might give us an insight into what the family members are interested in doing. Maybe they are interested in doing more physical activity, whether it's the canoeing on a local lake or the walking, maybe taking our bikes on some local trails. Maybe they've got an idea that that's what they'd like to do, and yet we as adults were thinking, oh, we have to go to Disney World, or we have to go where all the rides are. Maybe that wasn't even in their thinking process, so that intentional planning can go a long way in helping us adjust our expectations around the family vacation.
Well, and thinking about kids and their developmental stages, you know, often we're going on a family vacation with a group of children, maybe one, two, three, or many more, where they're all at different stages in their lives. Is it important to kind of take stock of what they may be capable of, interested in, and what might mean something to them given how old they are? Barb?
That is such a good point, because it's true. When the family goes, we don't all have the same interests. And so that intentional planning ahead of time will allow each family member to contribute something. Here's the thing I would like to try to do. And I know that younger brother or sister or older brother or sister may not like that, but what time can we carve out during this week that we're going to spend together? Or maybe I'm even saying it's a staycation and it's a couple days and it doesn't have to be a whole week, but what part can I try to find within that time frame that I get to go and do something that I like? And again, it's when we model as parents, when we model putting our cell phones away, when we model physical exercise, when we model good, healthy eating while we're on the vacation, our family members are going to follow that. They're going to see what we're doing as adults, and they're going to follow us.
The goal of many of these trips is to really show our kids the world and help them understand things, see things in a new way. Karen, do you have any advice for parents about, you know, how to effectively accomplish that with a trip?
We have just conducted a research study, and we're still in that stage of writing it up. But one of the things that I can share, this is a study where adolescents reflected on their trips, and some of these were with families, and some of these trips weren't with families. But what we noticed as we reviewed and analyzed these different essays from adolescents were that they went on different types of trips. So these different types of trips were like pilgrimage travel, where they were learning more about their identity, entertainment, where travel, which was like destination to amusement, challenge, or enjoyment or relaxation. We had service types of travels, education types of travels, adventure travels. And as we looked at these different types of travels and the human values that these adolescents reflected on in these different types of travels, we noticed that different travels provide adolescents, children in general, opportunity to grow in these values. And so, as you say, that parents are thinking about the different destinations, and maybe sometimes that's taking them to new cultures so they can experience that, but sometimes they're just wanting to help them explore their new identity or their value system. Thinking about those different types of travel and what those different types of travel instill in our value system is important. So just for a quick example, the distinction between like a pilgrimage travel, we saw that adolescents reflect it more on benevolence and tradition and security versus an entertainment travel. They reflected a lot more on the stimulation and hedonism types of values. And so again, those are two different types of travels, and parents can take this into consideration as they think about the different trips that they're considering.
We're talking about family vacations this hour, the value of family vacations, getting some advice on how to make them meaningful and how to make them fun as well. You're welcome to join our conversation. We'd love to hear your best vacation story or what you're trying to accomplish when you plan your family vacations today. Terry is on the line in Pella. Hi, Terry.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's your story?
You guys have hit on a topic so near and dear to my heart. I will try and make this very concise. I grew up with parents that did very impromptu. Once the business day had ended, they could close their restaurant. We took off at midnight. My memories that are so dear are traveling and going through different states with the AM radio fading in and out. I've tried to bring that to my children, And last year we ended up in a very impromptu heading west, going to Yellowstone, no reservations, no planning ahead. Silly thing to do when it's the 100th year of the national parks. But we lucked into a cabin in the Grand Tetons. No electricity, no restrooms. It was more of a yurt in a campground. And we sat outside at the picnic table, played cards, told stories, had campfires. My children loved it. They are anxious to go back. We're repeating that same trip this year as far as going to Custer, South Dakota. We've got a cabin rented. We're spending the week, and we're just going to have quality time.
Nice. Well, Terry, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And, you know, there are so many different kinds of vacations, different ways to travel. Terry's talking about going somewhere, you know, a place where you can obviously learn about the world, see something that you're not used to seeing, but also just spending that week together, that downtime. And Karen, is it important that you take stock of your family and figure out what kind of vacation is going to work for you?
I think that that's a great question, and I think this goes back to what Barb was talking about earlier in the intentional planning. And so when you say take stock of the family, it's the different ages and stages of different family members, what their different interests are. And then, each family is different in what they want to maybe achieve or with their family time together or their family vacation. So some families just really want to just relax during that time, and others really want to just be adventurous together. And so understanding what those maybe intrinsic values or goals that families have is really important in trying to make those decisions.
And, of course, different family members may have different styles. Whether you have a spouse who likes to vacation like you like to vacation, that's a pretty big question, too, isn't it, Karen?
It is. It is. And I'm not sure that I've got great advice yet on how to handle that, except to share again in the planning of the vacation so that each spouse is feeling like they have some ownership. And that even works really well with teenagers who sometimes feel like they're forced to go on family vacations. If everybody's taking time to plan, then maybe you can combine certain activities. And sometimes it's activities on the way to the actual destination of the vacation, and sometimes activities on the way back. It's not just always at the vacation spot.
One of the patterns that families seem to fall into, there are some families who will take their vacation to a different spot every year. There are other families who will go back to the same place, whether that's a family cabin or just a location where they want to go every year. And you know, they just love the area, but it's a similar experience every year. In your research with adolescents reflecting on vacations, do you have any insight on their memories of these different kinds of trips?
We did not look at the data that way, and so that'll be an interesting question that we may consider as we continue to look at it. But what you're speaking to is this idea of places that are familiar, which means that, again, if the environment around us is familiar, our brain is then able to focus more on the family relationship, because we kind of, even though some of it's novel in the sense that we've only doing this once a year, we're still focusing a lot more on the family relationship. And so for some families, again, going back to their family goals for the family trip, they may want to focus more on building that relationship, where others are, again, these very adventurous families, and so they want that novelty and new experience and excitement that comes with that new trip and new destinations, and then they share in that shared experience later. And so for those individuals, when we talk about developing the relationship, it's really important that they reflect on what they learned together and what they did together.
Susan is on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Susan.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here.
Well, thanks for calling. What story would you like to share?
Last year, all of my mom's descendants, including brother, sister, kids, grandchildren, went to northern Spain along the Atlantic coast because my daughter-in-law's from Spain and her son was going to be baptized in the town where her father grew up. And it's a little tiny, it was a hamlet, 300 people, very rural, The ocean on one side and foothills on the other. The people were very real, very kind. My daughter-in-law had planned and found a house that had 5 bedrooms and 4 bathrooms, so we had togetherness, and we were very careful not to have too much togetherness, but it was not a touristy place. We got to see how real people live. We got to be together. There was the baptism. My daughter-in-law's nephew had his first communion, so we got to go to that. We got to meet my daughter-in-law's 4 aunts and a whole bunch of uncles. And, my son-in-law is from Colombia, and his brother lives in Madrid. So my other grandchildren got to meet an uncle that they had never met before. I got to practice my rudimentary Spanish, and I could survive. It was the most incredible, memorable time. We loved being together, and we were just careful not to have too much of that.
Well, Susan, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. We are out of time for this segment. We'll be back in just a few minutes to talk more about family vacations with Barb Dunn-Swanson, human sciences specialist at Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. Karen Melton, I know we need to say goodbye, but thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Charity. This has been a pleasure.
Karen Melton, Assistant Professor of Child and Family Studies at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. We want your stories. Give us a call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about family vacations, camping trips, road trips, city explorations, amusement park pilgrimages, the good, the bad, but most importantly, the memorable. We're trying to understand the true value of these journeys, and we'd love to hear your memories. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And with me now is Dirk Keller of Iowa City. His family took a very memorable journey back in 1978. Hello, Dirk.
Hello, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here. And take us back to 1978. This was not a summer vacation. This was a winter trip.
Yes, it was. I was still in college, and I had a younger brother who played football at the University of Missouri. And they were in a bowl game, which back then were few and far between. The Mizzou Tigers were playing the LSU Tigers in the Liberty Bowl in Memphis. And I think the date of the game was around December 29th or 30th. And so right after Christmas, our parents packed us up, my two younger sisters and I, and we headed to Memphis, road trip. And we got into town, got into the hotel, and the first place our parents took us was to the Lorraine Motel, which is the site of the Martin Luther King assassination. And back then, in 1978, it was still an operational motel. So the balcony and the room outside where he was shot was encased in thick, heavy plastic as a memorial, but the rest of the motel was still working. And you know, there was some staff that showed us where the shots had come from, but we still felt like it was just raw, and it seemed like yesterday, even though it had been 10 years earlier. So that was a real kickstart to the adventure. After that, our mother insisted that we go shopping downtown Memphis. And to that point in my life, none of us had ever seen storefronts with bars and cages all around them, and we were the only white people down there. And we told our mother, you know, we don't feel like we should be here, but she insisted. That was her. And by golly, you know, we went in and out of the stores, and I don't remember what we bought. But we mingled and experienced everything. And from there, we went to Beale Street, which is now the famous revived music area of Memphis for jazz and blues. But back then, it was still run down. There was absolutely no life down there. But they were beginning to start the refurbishing of Beale Street. But you could see all the rundown old theaters and live music venues and juke joints. And like I said, it was clear they had just begun the process, and now it's all redone and quite a tourist attraction for the city of Memphis. And then I think the next day, I talked my parents into going to Sun Records Studio. And again, this was not an operational recording studio anymore. It was, they allowed tours, but we just showed up. And what was interesting about that is very small. And when we went in, the room, every room we went into was just strewn with 45 RPM records in their sleeves. The next day we went to Graceland.
And now this is 1978.
All 1978.
So this is not Graceland like we think about Graceland today.
Elvis had died the year before in August, so this was December of 78. His ex-wife Priscilla and daughter Lisa Marie were still living there. And in fact, you couldn't go in the house, obviously, but you could go up the driveway, walk up the driveway, and then around side of the house to their swimming pool.
So why do you think this was such an impactful vacation? Why did it make such a difference to you?
We'd never experienced anything as a family like Memphis. I think it impacted me because of the music element. I was never a huge Elvis fan, but this was pretty neat to see Graceland. To see Sun Records Studios to me was also really fulfilling and impactful.
Being a Midwestern family, I mean, this was a major cultural introduction for you.
Absolutely. And, you know, ever since then, I've been a real strong follower of blues music. I loved the American Epic story they did the last few weeks on the history of recorded music, much of which, in fact, one almost entire program centered around Memphis and the blues. And
I'm also struck because this was a vacation that your family took with a bunch of teenagers or 20-somethings, a time when a lot of us kind of give up on that idea.
It's centered around our brother's bowl game, and so that was always a lot of fun. I mean, it was the only bowl game I ever went to that he played in, and it was a lot of fun to be with the other family, so that was a part of the attraction. And at that, you know, I was, let's see, I had 1 year of college left. My brother had two. My sister had three. We were all in that range where we knew, at least I knew, that we weren't going to be doing this probably many more times, and we didn't. And the best part of the trip, I still remember this. When we got on the road to go home, I told my parents that this was the best vacation ever. And I remember that it meant a lot to my mother anyway. We didn't go on many vacations. We couldn't afford that. And you know, back then there just wasn't as much money in circulation. There weren't as many entertainment options. You know, it was just a very unique experience for us at that time.
Well, Dirk, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me
here,
Charity.
Your brother's team won the bowl game.
They did beat LSU. That was a lot of fun, too.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Dirk Keller of Iowa City. We're talking about family vacations this hour. With me, Barb Dunn Swanson, Human Sciences Specialist at Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. And Barb, listening to Dirk talk about that family vacation, which obviously meant a lot to him, I am struck by the fact that it was really a bunch of adults or at least young adults traveling together. We tend to think about family vacations as something that we do when our kids are young. Do we need to maybe broaden our idea of when we can travel together?
I think that's fantastic. And what I've heard from several listeners is that the family vacations that have meant the most have been when they have been meaningfully planned and when everybody got to do something that was on maybe their bucket list. certainly in Dirk's case, his mother had a few ideas about following the bowl game. What are some other activities that would really be meaningful culturally for his family? And it seemed like the participating family members were open to those suggestions. So again, maybe mom didn't tell the kids ahead of time what was going to be a part of the vacation, but the fact that everybody stayed open, you know, and as adults we're more able to do that. When we're younger, ages and stages, maybe younger children aren't as able to be as open maybe as we can as adults and try, you know, exploring a little more. But I think something else that could be really valuable, and Dirk mentioned it, was the processing, you know, talking about it when you get back, letting each of the family members maybe do a little journaling about what was the best part of our family vacation. That will give parents a great insight into, was our planning worth all that effort? Was the money that we invested worth the effort? Getting to hear the family stories, getting to maybe even look at the family photos that were taken. I know we're all still going to take our cell phones with us on family vacation. Then let's use those cell phones in ways that help build our memory bank of that family vacation.
Speaking of bucket lists, as people get older, there may be some places that they would really like to go. As our parents age, do you think that that's a conversation we should have with them and maybe think about taking a different kind of family vacation with older parents?
Fantastic idea. Again, back to the planning. Sit down with mom and dad. Talk with them. Talk with your aging parents about what kinds of things did they not get to do maybe earlier because they were saving money or because they were spending money on other things like their children's education. And now that they have, maybe they're retired and they have some more time on their hands, visit with them about what are some meaningful places that they might still like to go. And maybe, if you're willing, you would travel alongside them. Oftentimes, safety is a concern when we send people traveling near and far. And so maybe family members would feel safer if they knew they weren't alone traveling, but that maybe their children would go alongside them. And I'm planning to take a trip real shortly, and I'm going to also go alongside my aunt. My aunt is going with us. We're going to the Washington, D.C. area to visit another family member. But it's the going together that's important because there's safety in numbers, and also we are going to certainly be capturing a lot of good memories and activities in the D.C. area. We'll see some culture, of course, and the opportunity to spend time together as a family as we age is really important, and it builds those long-lasting memories that are so important for all of us.
We have an email from Dan. He said, unlike our next-door neighbors who took a vacation to the same lake cabin each year in Wisconsin, my family couldn't afford to take a vacation every year, but when we did, they were epic. My favorite trip involved traveling from our home in northern Illinois to Archer City, a small town in Texas, then on to my father's brother in Scottsdale, Arizona. When we left there, we went north to the Grand Canyon, then on to drive the, quote, million-dollar highway in Colorado, which tells you something about how long ago this was, then home again across Nebraska and Iowa. I can't ever forget those hair-raising mountain roads. My last trip with my whole family was to see my mother's sister in Florida. The heat and humidity were beyond belief, but most memorable was the ride Mom managed to take us on a nearly finished but yet unopened stretch of new interstate highway in Georgia. As long as there were no barricades, she just kept driving. We covered a lot of miles without any traffic, which is a great story. And there are always those stories from family trips. Are the disasters valuable too, Barb?
Well, when you're in the middle of the disaster, it doesn't seem like it's very valuable. But when you get a chance to look back upon what some of those hiccups might have been or those disasters, as long as everybody comes away safe, we can look back and say, what part of our planning was not taken care of? Or sometimes they're just things that are out of our control. And so when we can focus on things that are out of our control and we can chalk those disasters up to things that we just simply cannot control, but what it reminds me of is, what are the problem-solving skills that we have as a family when a disaster strikes, when we're knee-deep in a family vacation? What communication do we have as mom and dad or as grandparents along with us on this vacation and family members? What do we have as problem-solving skills that we will apply towards what has just happened? Again, role modeling for our children that we have adequate communication skills, that we can get through this, we can weather this disaster together by applying some of our problem-solving skills. Those are good things that we role model for our kids. And once they have the knowledge that we as adults have those skills and we model them for them, they too will learn those skills.
Now, as Dan said, his family couldn't afford to take a vacation every year. And maybe there was a little bit of envy for looking at what the next door neighbors were doing. And a lot of us do have these ideas of what we'd like to do on a family vacation that may be out of reach because they're so expensive. But talking about the value of all these trips, it sounds like the value of a vacation that doesn't cost a lot of money can be just as much as some of these more expensive destinations.
You are exactly right. The value is really, really important. And not only the value in terms of finances, that's not the only value that can be talked about. There is value in creating memories with families, family members. There is value in terms of the written, you know, what is it we're going to write down about how this vacation went and what we remember from it? What are we, you know, what kind of pictures are we going to be able to look back upon and say, you know what, this was a great time that we had? So value can be measured many different ways, and it just doesn't have to be in terms of finances.
Do you have any advice for families that would like to take a trip but don't feel like they have the money?
Well, I do, and I think it's a term that we often hear. We call it the staycation, where we stay at home or stay real close to home, but identify the local things we have real close to home that maybe we haven't even considered. We mentioned before doing some hiking locally, maybe getting our bikes out and finding some local trails and doing some biking together. Maybe we're going to do some canoeing or kayaking. And a lot of these ideas that I'm putting forth right now really help us to stay physically fit during the summer months. Also think about asking kids, what kinds of things have we not spent a lot of time doing? Have we been to the library lately? Is there a museum nearby that we have not explored? So it isn't as much about the destination, as you mentioned early on, but upon what are the things that are real local, that are near us? Are there some parks? Could we take a picnic? Could we decide that each member of our family gets to decide the meal we're going to have during the week, and we take that meal as a picnic? And those special experiences where we stay around, stay local, but still spend the quality time together, because bottom line, those young people in our family, they just want our time and our attention as parents. And so if we can put our cell phones aside for a bit of time and focus on those children, focus around activities that they are interested in, that will be where we're making the most difference.
Barb, thank you so much for being here today.
You are so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Barb Dunn-Swanson, Human Sciences Specialist at Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. Thank you for sharing your vacation stories with us today. We've been talking about the value of family vacations. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.